Hey, you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am Brian Kilby. With me, I have the usual cast and crew. I have with me JD. How's it going, JD?
Excellent, sir. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. John DeLuna.
Hello, hello.
XV.
It's so fat!
You're like on DSL now. Why do you sound like you're on dial-up?
What?
And we have Rob Springer. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
What's up, guys?
Not much. Okay, a couple things actually to hit this week. We have a more densely packed RFC than normal. I just got a message, too. What is this? The Weekly Vice. 18-year-old girl finds mother dead on the kitchen floor while cross-dressing father sits nearby smoking a cigarette. I know that woman. Okay, so on this week's show... Sorry.
Just reading fun email on the air.
Yeah. On the show, we have something we've wanted to get to for a while. Like, how did you get into Transformers? What was your first toy, your first exposure, etc.? We have a few bits of news, and we also have... we also want to get to a conversation that's been posted to the AllSpark that all of the... guys here are interested in talking about, and that is moments in Transformers history that bother you. First, let's go to the news. There's quite a few toy pictures up. Bludgeon, what is it, Black Soundwave?
Yeah, Dracula Soundwave.
Dracula Soundwave, Black Dynamite, whatever. It should be new Soundwave. I don't get why that's not the case. So what do you guys think? I mean, most of these we've already saw, but these are much better pictures. Any opinions change on these toys?
That breakdown picture, I think the one previous I had seen was the sort of blurry picture from BotCon, and actually seeing a good picture of it, that looks nice. I think I like to pick that up.
Yeah, the Legends always look better. They benefit from good pictures, I think. So it's nice to see them with some lighting and some posing and stuff. You get a better idea of the toy.
Yeah, and it's that Bludgeon is much better than the mistransformed stolen prototype that we saw last week.
Yeah, so. Bludgeon is just awesome.
Bludgeon's awesome, but I'm disappointed. I was assuming that he was a deluxe. Now that I know that he's a Voyager, I know that I'm going to have to pay more money than I was anticipating. So.
But think of it a different way, Brian. Remember Universe Galvatron? If Bludgeon was a deluxe, it would be that again.
Yeah, that's a good point. Universe Galvatron is like the worst. He could have been such a fantastic toy if he cost $8 more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah. He's a waste of a toy.
That crappy arm that falls off just by looking at it.
Yeah. But we did get, out of that line, we did get some excellent deluxes. We got... Cyclonus, and who we found out today, Nightstick can fit into a Minicon port. Nevermore mentioned that today, which is kind of no one made
you
a joke
that before.
No, but no one made a joke about that, about a Nightstick fitting in a Minicon port. And we got
you just did.
Yeah, I know. And we also got Hound, which Hound is excellent. And both actually kind of have a familiar going on, because Hound comes with Ravage and Cyclonus comes with Nightstick.
A little bonus.
Yeah.
Of course, then there was Hotshot.
I didn't pick up Hotshot.
Hotshot was great, just a little disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not the world's biggest Hotshot fan. I guess that would be walky. But yeah. But Hotshot, he's Hotshot. You know, why my shoulders hurt?
Yeah.
Right.
Jam.
If it wasn't for that little kibble getting in the way, he would have been a perfect toy. But that little bit was just like, while you're trying to play with him.
Do you think Jungle Attack Ironhide has flashbacks to Nam?
Charlie! Yeah, probably. I was thinking that he like drives around to Sweet Home Alabama in his pickup truck that's like made out of wood with a mullet and a cigarette. You know...
Bad mojo.
Yeah. Sorry, I killed that. So, this is sort of tangential. I don't even know really what the movie's about, but apparently Megan Fox's movie bombed.
Jennifer's Body, I think is the name
of it. So sad.
Yeah. Bummer. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a cult classic, guaranteed.
Isn't it a remake? My girlfriend said it's a remake of another movie, but for nothing I can remember the original movie.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's written by that the writer who wrote Juno.
Diablo Cody.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like really snappy writing, but too smart for its own good.
Too smart for her.
Yeah, that
has cult classic written all over it.
It's okay. It'll be on AMC along with Piñata Terror soon enough.
Devil feature.
Yeah, what JD was telling me before the show about how she wound up in Transformers. This is something I didn't know. Tell us this, JD.
My understanding is that Michael Bay went to his casting directors and he basically said, find me the sweetest legal thing that you can find with breasts and bring it to the movie. And so they found Megan Fox.
That's just kind of cold sounding and scary.
Yeah.
Well, and
the breasts part.
And that's, of course, I'm paraphrasing, but I mean, that's essentially that's what he said. I think he used words that we wouldn't probably use on this show. But,
not at this point in the show.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I know part of that is that he made her wash his car and he videotaped it.
What?
I wish I had that kind of power. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, looked on film.
I got the feeling he sounded like Herbert from Family Guy when he was ordering his Teen Stars.
But hey, it's brilliant, right? Because it works, you know. I mean, there are people that, you know, saw the movie for that.
Yeah, he actually also got her to pack on, like, a few pounds for the sequel, and she does look really good in the sequel, I will admit that. I'm not the biggest fan of her in the world, and I do think she's kind of scummy. But she was pretty hot in Revenge of the Fallen.
Well, anything looks better than skin and bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And All Hell Megatron 15 came out, and JD read that. What were your thoughts on? I have not read a single issue of All Hell Megatron, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show.
I don't know I've picked up bits and pieces of the series, and I guess who is the writer? McCarthy was writing on that series, and I think he got the boot off of it, and now they've got a new writer. It's really weird. They're doing it as a split issue almost now, so there's two mini issues, and it's not making a lot of sense. I mean, this particular issue, the first half of the issue focused on revitalizing Cup, which somehow used the Pretender process, but they didn't really explain how that worked, and it was branching off from a couple of the different spotlights. I think the Cup spotlight, and then I can't remember one of the other spotlights. And anyway, somehow he's addicted to some sort of bad radiation, and so he has to have this Saigar to sort of curb his addiction to it. So that's why Cup now smokes a cigar. But anyway, and then the second part of the issue is dealing with Perceptor and how Perceptor became a sharpshooter. I guess he got damaged and then he repaired himself into a sharpshooter so that he could be more useful and less of a scientist. But what ends up happening, and I think this is always a problem in comics. I think we talked about this on the other show with Booster Gold. When you take an issue that's designed to be a certain length and then you split it in half and you only have like 8 pages to tell your story, you end up telling 2 really kind of crappy stories and not really 1 cohesive story. And it's just not making a lot of sense, really, is my problem. And why they're continuing it as a part of the All Hell Megatron when it's really kind of split off from what that was supposed to be. I don't know.
No, I've not read it. Has anyone else read this? John, are you reading it?
No. Hey, for somebody like me who is like read very lightly All Hail Megatron, what is up until this point, what is your take on the series as a whole? Like is it holding together? Is it a worthwhile read? Like how do you guys feel about it right now?
From the parts that I've read, I think it's a series that started out with a really interesting concept.
What is the concept?
The initial concept was to take the Transformers, bring them back to Earth, and have a series in which Megatron was going to be larger than life and Optimus Prime was going to play a backseat role because he was going to be injured out of the way. So really it was kind of an exploratory piece of what would happen if the Autobots were largely, you know, underpowered or non-existent and Megatron decided to take over the Earth. That was like the initial sort of take. And I think there's probably about 5 issues, maybe 6, in that concept. Somehow he managed to drag it out to 12. And I think what happened around issue 7 or 8 is it just started to spin out of control.
I
jumped the shark in a way, but it just didn't really have the pieces to hold it together. And there were so many things that happened along the way that didn't make a lot of internal sense. I mean, they didn't, first of all, the first thing they did wrong is they didn't do it as a split off. They tried to branch from the existing material.
So it's in continuity?
It's supposed to be in the IDW continuity like that Simon Furman had set up. But the author has, McCarthy has just like sort of spit on everything that Furman did and destroyed all of it, changed stuff. I mean, the character models are different, updated. There's no explanation as for why they're different. Furman had done all of that headmaster setup with Hunter and really, you know, had established Hunter as this really interesting character. And then they just ended up, like, really for no reason killing that character off.
It's usually Furman that does that.
I know, and that's really kind of odd.
That's ironic.
It is sort of ironic because Furman is the one that usually kills off cool characters. It's just almost like it's spinning out of control right now, and no one seems to be able to know how to rein it in and fix it. So I don't know what they're going to do. It definitely has nothing to do with the All Hail Megatron concept, because the last I knew that we left Megatron was now out of commission. And Starscream was talking about taking over the Decepticons. But that was like 3 issues ago, and the Decepticons haven't even figured into the series in the last like 4 episodes.
Do I need to be reading this? Should I go back and try to catch up? Or if I wanted to read the IDW comics, would I need to know all this? Is there a good jumping on point around here?
I have missed a lot of the middle. I caught like from like 9 and a couple of issues from there, and I have like the first 1 to 4, so I'm kind of missing the middle. I've read as far as what happens. I don't know that there's a good jumping on point, though. I mean, I think you'd almost would have to kind of go to the beginning and read, because the first few issues, I have to say, are pretty good. I mean, if you haven't read anything and haven't been keeping up and you start at issue 1 and go forward, I think you would be okay. But certainly, like I said, because it sort of disregards a lot of the stuff that comes before it. But as far as a jumping in point, good luck, because I'm trying to come back in at – I tried to come back in at 15, and then I read 14 because I thought that would help, and it didn't help any.
Okay. John, were you about to say something?
No, that answers my question.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I'll pick up the issues and I'll read them, and I'm going to try my best to – I have a stack of Transformers comics that's about 8 inches tall that I need to catch up on. And it goes all the way back to Dreamwave. So I am seriously going to try to make – like, I work Sundays on my radio job. And that's usually like used to be my Gundam building day, and then it was my comic reading day. I'm actually going to try to make it through those comics, but I don't know that I'm going to enjoy it. So,
You get so far behind, it becomes like a job almost to catch up.
There are certain things that you can read and you can seriously enjoy. I mean, I spent like 2 years not reading anything. Then I spent like a few months catching up. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading, say, the Grant Morrison Batman, getting back to where I am. I can tell you I'm not going to have that level of enjoyment with the Transformers comics. But to be a good Transformers fan, I'm going to do it.
Now, the shorter jump in is you can go with the newer Tales of the Fallen series. That's just now on issue 2. I don't know that it's much better, but it's at least, you know, newer.
Yeah. I'll check. I'm going to read it all. I mean, I literally read the whole G1 comic in one day. So, the Marvel G1 comic.
Mm-hmm.
The Marvel US G1 comic. Just like Jim had to qualify the whole thing, but in our interview with Jim Sorensen. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. You really do the Marvel US G1 comic. But so it can be done. I really guess that's it for this segment. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back here in just a moment.
Through the magic of the RFC Network, RFC Throwback, Computer Enhanced, ha ha ha, classic episodes of Radio Free Cybertron, as well as the new RFC Throwback Podcast. Check it out at tfradio.net. Click on Throwback, and follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RFC_computer.
Okay, we're back. I wanted to go ahead and hit the one of the first of the two main topics we wanted to talk about in this show. How did you guys get into Transformers originally? We talked about how you came back to Transformers. How did you get into Transformers? I'll start. Just like probably most of you, I was a kid in 1984. I was 5 years old. I saw a commercial for Transformers on TV, and I made my parents take me to the local toy store, and there I picked up Mirage. I brought him home, laid down on my bed, cracked the case open, and broke his waist right in the middle. Then I cried. Oh, wow. I cried for like 10 minutes until they went and got me Cosmos. No. They went and got me Slag. Then I broke him too.
Jeez.
Yeah. Actually, no, Slag.
Keep toys away from you.
Yeah.
You were a horrible little ham-fisted child, weren't you?
Slag was 85, so I must not have actually gotten a toy until 85. Or was it 86?
Lies.
I broke him. So how did you guys get into Transformers? Rob, you start.
Okay. About pretty much the same as you, 84. I mean, I think I was either coming home from school or coming in or something to watch TV. And you remember that commercial where they're like, it's like the pre-animated, I guess it's sort of comics, wherever it was like a little cartoon of them fighting and then the toys. And it was like, the Autobot Commander and stuff like that.
Yes.
I just saw that. And yes. I was just like, wow! I had no clue they transformed. That didn't dawn on me for a while. It was just that, and I was like, wow! I'm like having little daydreams about them, and I think my Star Wars toys got kind of transposed into Transformers for a while there.
So you pretended that your Star Wars toys were Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out how to play with this cool cartoon I saw on TV. I guess that's didn't even occur to me that it was a commercial. I don't really know what the hell's wrong with me, but
he thought it was a documentary, like a short form documentary.
I was like flying around my little Star Wars toys going, "Rolling guys."
Correction. I want to get back and just do a quick retraction.
I want to do a retraction.
I remember now. I've got notes. I don't remember this. I got Mirage. Then for Christmas, I got Slag, and it must have been 85 when I got Slag for Christmas. So I went like a year without having another Transformer.
Well, you broke the first one. They're not going to buy you another one.
Yeah. So no, Slag came for Christmas, and I broke him. The first toy that I actually got that I still have was Cosmos, and I got Cosmos when my dad was in the hospital. I got it at a local retail store that is no longer in business, but I still managed to keep Cosmos, and he is very floppy at this point. JD, how did you get into Transformers originally?
1984. We had just moved to Oklahoma from Ohio, and we were living with my grandmother until we got a house of our own. And there was a mall that was just down the way, and went to the mall one day, and I walked home with this cool little jet that I guess transformed. Although, as I think I mentioned on another show, I never really figured out how to transform Starscream until like years later.
I was thinking it was Leader One.
No, it was Starscream, but I never figured out how to get the arms out the back. I don't know. For years, so
it's such
but
a crappy
that was
toy.
Well, you know, it's yeah, it was not necessarily designed for someone of that age. At least that one, I don't know. I couldn't figure it out, and there were a lot of parts, and they were all lost pretty quickly. But that was the first one I got. I remember getting, and then from there, it was just, you know, the sky was the limit. I mean, I had to have all of them, as many as I could, and I couldn't even begin to list, you know, where I went from there. But yeah, I mean, I don't even think I saw the show until a while late, you know, until after I had picked up the first toy. So it wasn't one of those deals, for me at least, where I saw the commercials or saw the show or anything and then had to have the toy. I ended up having the first toy before I had seen any of the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't honestly remember if I saw the cartoon before I saw the toy, or before I got my first toy. All I know is I saw the commercial and I had to have the toy. Like Rob, I could have had, like, sort of, it could have been disassociated. I might not have known it was a Transformer at all, but I knew that I had to have the toy. So I'm saving XB for last because I think he's probably got the most interesting story. John, what was your first exposure?
I think it was probably similar to everybody else. It was kind of, I definitely remember the marketing kind of like hitting me all at once. So it was like the, I remember coming home after school and seeing the commercial. And then I think it was like that next week or weekend being at the store at the Toys R Us and then seeing like this wall of Transformers. And I got Soundwave. And I think that's actually one of the memories I have as a kid, and I'm sure it's distorted because as a kid you're literally small and, you know, everything else is huge by comparison to you. So I remember like the big, gigantic Transformers area in like Toys R Us or in all the toy stores where it was like it seemingly like went on forever, just, you know, bunches and bunches of Transformers toys. So my first experience was just like that, the big crush of marketing and everything when it all kind of hit.
Well, when something is new, even today, like when the new movie line comes out or the new cartoon comes out, unless they get a small stock in, they'll usually devote like a huge chunk of an aisle to the line. So even kids today probably experience that. I remember when wasn't animated. I guess it was the first movie line came out. I mean, the whole aisle was dedicated to Transformers.
Yeah, I think they had like 3-4 foot sections like at Target, or at least, well, they had 2 end caps and 2 4-foot on the aisle. So yeah, it's 16 feet of Transformer stuff when the movie came out.
Yeah, even to us, I mean, that's pretty large, and I can only imagine what a kid thinks when they see that. XV, I think, has the most unique story. XV, what was your first exposure to Transformers?
Well, you know, in 1984, I had just been born. So it took me a while to get to the point where I was demanding toys. It was not until 1993 when Generation 2 started that I both found the cartoon, which had just started then again. And shortly after that, I went to KB Toys in the local mall and picked up Gold Chrome Bumblebee, which I still have here right next to me today.
Do you like sleep with it?
No.
You should.
I'd crush it under my enormous girth.
It's not that enormous. You don't have to make fun of yourself.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, it is funny. So, I was actually talking to someone else today whose first toy was G2 Chrome Beachcomber, which I think is a fantastic toy. I like Beachcomber anyway, but I think the green that he has is just a really great look. So it's, I guess it's interesting that we all have such similar stories. All of us, except for XV, are basically a product of the 80s and the deregulation of the FCC. it's like capitalism gone wild. Oh, there's something on TV that I want. The TV is making me want this. So that I guess that is interesting, sort of.
This one kid in my grandmother's neighborhood, I was spending the weekend, and he had just gotten Optimus Prime, and all the kids went down to his house to look at the toy, and he had set up in the garage with the trailer and base mode and the robot up with the gun and roller out and everything, and he all but had a velvet rope for us all to look at it, but we couldn't touch it. It was like going to the museum or something.
I remember the first time I saw Optimus Prime. One of my best friends in the world, Mike, who he's getting married next year, and I'm his best man, Woot. It was kindergarten, and he had it. And I just remember that I wanted to kill him and take it. I'm like, I want that. But it was like $25, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
$25 at Walmart. And it's like, wow, I can never afford that. That is like an incomprehensible amount of money.
They were pretty expensive toys for the time, too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's prices back then.
Yeah,
a He-Man or G.I. Joe was like $2, and Bumblebee was like $5.
At the supermarket, my mom paid $5 per Masters Universe toy, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. G.I. Joe is about $3.
I just remember I only had $2 a week I could spend, and that was like all I could afford was either He-Man or G.I. Joe.
I remember getting, in 1991, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle for $3.50.
Walmart here had them for $3.96.
Huh.
I just remember because I saved up $20 and I was able to get 5 of them. Mm. I was happy.
Huh.
It's a big day.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there are any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle podcasts.
There has to be.
Yeah.
There's a podcast for everything.
Yeah. Most people here started with G1. XV started with G2.
Not my fault. You guys are all old.
Yeah. We're not that much older than you are.
I was in the ninth grade when G2 started.
I was in high school. Yeah, when G2 started.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 25. How old are all of you?
30.
31.
29.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But
thanks for making us say it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all 30-year-olds sitting here behind a microphone talking about Transformers.
No shame. We are cool, dude.
We are cool.
We got it going on, man.
Yeah, but my nephew, he's a Transformers fan, and his first exposure was Beast Wars. So, and there are kids that I work with whose first exposure was like Armada. So I've mentioned this before, I'm like the IT manager for a local children's home. I used to have a really awesome corporate job, and I left that to go to the nonprofit sector. So I was talking to some kids, and one of the kids knows that I love Transformers, so he was talking to me. One of the other kids walked up and said, "You're a really old man. Why are you talking about Transformers?"
Oh, wow.
And I really didn't have a comeback, so I just sort of dropped my head and walked away. But the next day, I made a point to go back down to where the kids were, and I had taken pictures of my collection, which are on my Flickr account, and pictures from BotCon, and I really didn't know if this was going to dig me deeper in the loser hole, or if this was going to win me some points, but I showed it to the kids, and all the kids wanted a copy of the pictures. They all loved it. And, of course, they all wanted to know if they could have the toys. And I actually have donated toys before. It was like the Universe Combaticons, because I didn't think I could honestly sell those on eBay because they were so plentiful. But the kids loved it, and that won me some points. So I'm now cool.
Man, 1 year – actually, this is probably about maybe 02 or so. I was working at an Office Depot. And I was walking down the aisle. This kid, what was his name? Aerobot, the Go Go Gobot guy. Was it Aerobot?
Aerobot.
Like, yeah. And his kid was playing with it, and he like picks it up and looks at me and goes, "It's a Transformer." And I had just gotten off work, so my little work shirt was unbuttoned and all that. So I opened up my shirt because I had like an Autobot shirt on underneath. I thought the kid would think it's cool. I was like, "You mean like these guys?" And the kid was like, "Wow." And then his mom looked over at me like, "Are you flashing my kid?"
Awesome.
And I was just like, no, you just undid my shirt. It's okay. And then I ran.
A similar experience, but a little different. I was in a Toys R Us with Chris from the other show. And a kid picked up Tri-Predicus, the Beast Wars combiner, and the kid was looking at it. The kid was no more than 7 years old. I'm like, "Well, kid, I'm like, son, that's not the easiest Transformer to transform. You know, you may want to get one of these others." And his mother looked at me, and she's like, "He knows how to transform them." So that she thought I was a dick. So also, I found out today
she didn't believe you.
Oh no.
Oh.
Yeah, she thought I was implying her son was stupid. I think.
You might have been.
Yeah, I might have been, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm always the guy that in the office who has like the huge collection of toys. Actually, I'm just going to link to my Flickr page. Go to tfradio.net. In the show notes, you'll see a link to my Flickr page and to my desk. And I always have a big display of toys. I have like God Genrai and stuff and Masterpiece Prime, and I don't know why I left that at my desk. I'm surprised that didn't get stolen. But there was a kid who I've honestly met maybe four times, and he just took a liking to me. He's like 12 years old now, and I found out today that he has a picture of me in his room. It's kind of creepy. I think kids like me, and I in their mind, I kind of like am way more awesome than I am in reality.
When you said that, I thought you meant he had a picture of you in his room.
He does.
Like, of you sneaking around his room.
No.
You sneaking around his room.
No, it was just a picture of me from, like, 06, 07 that his mother took because I worked with her. Yeah, it was a good year. I just thought that was really creepy that there's a kid has a picture of me in his room, yeah.
It's not creepy till you walk into your house and he's wearing your clothes.
You know, I wake up and I'm bleeding to death and he's wearing my skin.
And he's punching you because he broke Mirage too.
Yeah.
I like that imagery like that just rolls off your tongue.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone have anything else to add to our little discussion? A little walk down memory lane? Okay, I didn't think so. We'll be back in a second.
See this? The Matrix. I now possess that which you most fear. You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Yeah, we waste the best stuff in, like, talking about the show. I mean, like, before we do the show, we have, like, a whole show. And it's like all the good stuff.
Like the, I don't know, pre-party.
Pre-party is much better than the actual party.
The after party is the one you want to attend.
Yeah, I need to make sure that the microphone's always recording. So, JD, did you grab the stuff?
I have the Superion right here.
So you got that for... last week we said that you were off raiding or doing something, but it was really your wedding anniversary.
Correct.
Congratulations to 3 years?
Yes, three years.
Oh, good man.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I don't know how I've made it one, so it's amazing that you've made it three. So you got what did you get?
My wife is so cool. She got the complete set. So it's the Superion Universe set that was basically a recolor in more G1 style colors of the Energon, Superion Maximus, and then the actual upgrade kit from what is the name of that company?
Isn't it Fans Project?
Fans Project, thank you. It just totally left me. Fans Project upgrade kit for it, so that it actually has the better looking combined form.
How does it work?
In function, what it does is it essentially replaces the hands and feet for the figures. And it also has a particular transformation. So basically you use the same same molds for the legs, and then you use the same molds for the arms, because of course there's only three molds between the five figures.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a series of extra parts, and it is a little bit of a dance to get it to go together the first time, because it's very particular as far as how each piece fits together. And I was really, one of the things I was really surprised about was the plastic. I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting more of the kind of plastic that you would get, you know, like with a figure.
It's kind of rubbery.
No, it actually reminds me a lot of modeling. So if you have done like model kits, like Gundam kits, things like that.
Did you get the City Commander, JD?
Not yet. That is definitely going on the list now that I have a job, though.
Okay, then you probably wouldn't have been surprised by the plastic quality otherwise.
Yeah, this is the first upgrade kit that I've had. So this was the first one. We had that whole discussion on the show, and of course I'd never gotten one.
Me neither.
Yeah, but
and that's actually why XV is on the show, because he was kind of got pissy. He's like, I wanted to be on the show. I wanted to talk about the upgrade kits, and now you are XV. Congratulations.
And now I have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think as far as form and function, it really works nice. I think it does its job in the sense that I think it makes it a better figure set. Like, I'm much happier, especially with the Superion form, with the upgrade kit, than I was, say, with the general release. Because I think we'd mentioned, like, maybe what, last week or week before, when we were talking about, you know, I think XV said that the figures are crap. And I think that as a combined form, they are, but this really fixes those problems. You know, he stands up super easy in robot mode. The proportions now look right. He has actual hands. You know, you add back in the same kind of problems that you had with the G1, where you sort of have kibble, which there's places to hide some of the stuff and places to that all the pieces are supposed to go to fit onto the planes, but it's a little forced, and I'm just displaying it in robot mode and leaving it at that. So as far as the combined form,
I thought it was kind of clever that they turned some of the extra pieces into an AWAC set to put on one of the Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that means. Can you?
The AWAC planes have a big radar disc on top. They're the airborne warning control airplanes. They extend the radar range out a long way so they can tell what's going on in the combat zone.
Oh, so the kit includes, like, a
some
dish?
Some of the combiner pieces assemble together. JD, which ones come together to make the radar dish that goes on the plane?
It's pieces of the feet.
Okay.
There's two. Each foot has two sides, and it's basically a half circle, so you end up with the full radar dish once you take those pieces off of the feet. And it's actually kind of interesting, again, how they did that, because there's a chromed socket, essentially, and then the feet have smaller chromed pegs that fit into those holes. So it ends up looking like a piston when you get the foot assembled. But in actuality, it's a connector to add stability and connection between the circular pieces and then the foot, which there's really not a lot of mobility between those two pieces, but that's fine. Again, the feet are huge, but they make it really stable.
So what are some of the other parts hide as?
Most of it, the rest of it's guns. The feet are like, I would almost call them like fuel pods that are supposed to go on Silverbolt, and then there's a set of small guns. I've actually already lost a part. Like I'm a kid again. But I actually just lost one of the small guns. It's somewhere, but I just don't know where. It fell behind, I think, my table. But the rest of the pieces just sort of go together in order to make the fuel pods, and then there's gun sets for each of the figures as well that they can hold in their hands, and then we'll also fit on the jet forms as well.
One thing I was curious about looking at the pictures of this, the arm pieces are designed to fit over one leg each of the F-22 molds. Have you had any problem with the ball joint there being loose?
Yes, actually, that would probably be the only major downside. Yes, is because it's a single ball joint and that's designed to be a leg. It's not really designed to be an arm. You really only get two poses out of the arm holding the gun, mm-hmm. which is he can either hold it, you know, kind of up in the air, straight up in the air. You can get it to set basically right up against the plane body, or laying kind of down and forward, where it will sort of lay across part of his leg, so down. The other arm, because it doesn't have a lot of weight on it, you can get a little bit more flexibility out of it. So you can get a few more poses out of it from that standpoint. But yeah, that's probably the only thing that didn't really, I mean, I wouldn't say that it doesn't work. It's just not as flexible as I would like.
It's not an ideal arrangement.
Correct. Right. And this is ad hoc, right? I mean, this is taking something that's existing and you're trying to force something onto it. And it's a great solution. Again, I think if you took the gun out of the hand, it would take a lot of weight out of it. And then you might be able to get more posability out of it. But
yeah,
as it is.
No, go ahead and finish.
No, I was just going to say, as it is, I think it looks okay.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now, and I think it looks phenomenal. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think it looks great. It adds a lot to that toy.
Looks great, and I think the engineering in it is pretty clever. It's just that one thing with the arms that bugged me looking at the pictures. Because you could tell that was going to be a problem point.
Yeah.
Because without the upgrade kit, my Superion, those pieces are already pretty floppy on their own.
Right.
How much does the Superion kit set, I don't know how much the kit costs, how much does the set cost at Target? It's like $30?
$29.99.
Yeah.
So we're looking at $75 for the whole kit, the whole shebang, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Big Bad Toy Store has it 45.
45. Yeah. So it's like 70. Yeah. Something altogether.
I think that's worth it.
Yeah. And actually, I'll make one more note. Actually, I just figured out a little trick on that arm. I can get the arm to point straight out if you rotate the leg joint in the other direction.
Kind of like working with Beast Wars Rampage.
That
yes.
makes sense.
Yeah, where you have to kind of turn it in the opposite direction. So now the gun will point straight out.
Well, there you go.
That looks fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, that actually does look really good.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I think that if for some reason you happen to have bought the Superion kit or the Superion set, you should definitely invest in the kit.
Yeah, going back to the conversation we had several shows ago, I am not for like the fan toys if it really infringes on the Hasbro copyright, but this right here totally improves on the toy that Hasbro's already done. I think Hasbro is probably very happy about this because I think they just sold another Superion box set because of this, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to pick this up now.
And it's a less steep investment than getting a City Commander set for your Ultra Magnus.
I don't even have that Ultra Magnus anymore. I got rid of that. I had the did he only come in the box set with Skywarp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I sold that for like twice what I paid for it, so.
Capitalism.
Oh yeah.
I wish I could do that. I can only seem to sell things for less than what I bought.
Oh, I mean, I unloaded like 200 Transformers and I lost money on most of them. So, but that one occasionally I do make more money back.
Can't lose them all.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Also, we wanted to, after that, we wanted to talk about the thread on AllSpark, which was moments in Transformers history that bothers you. And that's a really nifty idea for a thread because there are so many potential answers. I think the thing is like at 11 pages now. And quite a few quite a few responses. I'll start it off. For me, the few things that bother me the most, and some of them I understand, but in Transformers the movie, most of them are going to be Transformers the movie. I mentioned this before, the merciless killing of all the season 1 and season 2 characters, hate that. Ultra Magnus's, I can't deal with that now line. I understand it. He's a busy man, and the Cup and Hot Rod, you know, buying it. I understand that's, you know, all well and good. It's just, I still don't care for it. But the thing that I don't know that I've mentioned before, Megatron has been, transformed into Galvatron. In the movie, Starscream asks Galvatron if he's Megatron, and Galvatron only responds with, "Here's a hint," and he kills him. And is it Rumble? It's Rumble. He said, what's his name again? Or what did he say his name was? And it's Galvatron. But come Five Phases of Darkness, everyone knows that Galvatron was Megatron, but it's kind of ambiguous in the movie. In the comic adaption, it's kind of funny. He's like, "Megatron, is that you?" It's like, "The name's Galvatron now." So they make a point to explain, "Yes, I used to be Megatron, but now I'm Galvatron." But it's to me, in the cartoon, it's kind of hard to tell. Do people realize he's Megatron or not? And they explicitly say so in Five Faces of Darkness, but I don't really get how they came to that conclusion. So that's it for me. John?
You know what? Lots of things bothered me. I'm going to try to go for something a little more recent with the second movie. So
The whole
second movie, yeah. 2.5 hours. That bothers me. But no, in general, you know what? I guess I would say the thing that bothered me about the second movie and still bothers me is just the level of humor, which was immediately clear in the second movie that we were going to do, you know, potty and toilet humor and like the lowest possible level of humor constantly for the next 2.5 hours. And so,
you mean like standing beneath the enemy's testicles?
Yes. And openly commenting on them in case you didn't see them, you know, in case you didn't see the visual gag, I'm going to like, you know, comment on it. Anyway, well, I think that's what bothers me is because in the movie verse, which is rightfully so, what most people think of when they think of Transformers now, because of, you know, it's a blockbuster movie, it's two of them, that they associate that level of humor with Transformers. And so that's what bothers me.
I can respect that. JD?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with my standby of the Quintessons making the Transformers in the animated series. In the G1 series, I still just really hate that origin, and I don't know. It just it still does not sit right with me, just because. And I think we mentioned again, there's, you know, it's a different kind of origin deal, but I don't know. It just seemed really contrived, and you had these really interesting, you know, sort of independent figures, and now it just turns out they were made by a big factory, and they sort of, I mean, in a sense, you know, it goes back to the origins of like what robots were and when the term was originally coined. I can't remember the name of that story, but there was it's old. But anyway, I don't like it. I don't like it. I can't deal with it.
You know, Rob, I can't deal with that now. Rob Gerbrock, I don't know if I'm saying Rob's last name correctly. I've never known how to say it. I've never actually met him. Hopefully, he was at BotCon 09, and I didn't get a chance to be there. But he and I were talking in email, and he said that he likes the Quintesson origin because the Autobots had to basically overcome these Quintesson oppressors to sort, and they sort of rose up and sort of, you know, seized their own individuality and their own society. And they built themselves up, yet ultimately they all still, the Autobots and Decepticons, really succumbed to war. And they reached so high and they achieved so much, yet everything still came toppling down. because of, you know, the natural inclination toward, you know, violence and self-destruction. So his argument is that the origin is much more, I guess, poetic and tragic. And I totally agree with that. I think that he put a lot more thought into that than I did. I just didn't like the hokey robot gods. But I think I couldn't put it better than he did. I really think that adds a lot to the Generation 1 cartoon continuity, where the Quintessons or the creators and the overseers and the oppressors and the Autobots overcome it and still yet almost destroy themselves.
And then as a side note, because I know we rehashed that, Budding's just weird.
You know what my favorite origin for the Transformers is?
What
evolving
is
from naturally occurring gears and levers.
Oh. Budiansky origin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I love Budiansky.
Always been my favorite.
So, XB, what bothers you the most?
Well, it's something that stuck with me for years, and I posted this in the AllSpark thread, too. Do you remember in Season 2 of Beast Machines when Black Arachnia reformatted Jetstorm?
To Silverbolt, yeah. Killed... Basically, just killed Jetstorm there. Nobody.
While he was screaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thought
that whole screaming death involuntary process, you know, because reformatting is supposed to be this liberation, this choice you make, and she's just kind of flipping the switch and making him go through it whether he likes it or not.
It made him another person.
Now, I mean, I understand the point that was brought up, too, that the Viacons were shell programs and their status as real individuals could be questioned, but they seem pretty well realized to me.
Yeah. By extension, also, Rhinox. Rhinox was Tankor and just decided that he loved being evil, so he stayed that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone else mentioned from Beast Machines the ending, but not so much that it ended that way. Not so much that it ended that way, but the fact that the budget was so small that really all they were able to do was add a texture to the model for Cybertron, and that was basically it. We didn't get a chance to see like a realized version of what this new world was like.
It was still kind of pretty, though.
Yeah, I mean, like I posted, in my mind, it really embellished that whole thing. I remember it being way grander than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And one addendum I want to make to my moment that bothers me, it's not a continuity thing either. It's just the state that the Armada and Energon doves were allowed to go out in.
Yeah,
with the names being wrong often.
Yeah, the whole thing. I know they were under a time crunch with that majorly, but
I agree, JD. Sorry, that was a poor attempt at illustrating what you were talking about.
I was right there with you.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, what were some of the things that bothered you?
Oh man, and you know, XB just mentioned the whole Armada thing, and that was kind of part of it. I think I even posted it in that thread. Was you know, I really enjoyed the whole AEC timeline, the whole Unicron trilogy timeline, but with all those problems. It was like for every pro, there was a legitimate con that would just linger right there and be kind of annoying. Like, hey, this is a really good episode. You should check it out. Really? Why does that guy keep calling him Leader One?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, this is a really great toy. And then you'd have the people who are nuts about articulation. Well, now the gimmick's in the way, and I can't make them bend over.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Armada Megatron. He is absolutely one of my favorite Transformers ever, but he is not, he doesn't have articulation worth a darn. His ears are articulated, but his horns, but that's about it. He's a great toy.
I'm not even that big of an articulation buff, but I can, you know, understand how other people come to expect it now. I mean, that was what, 02, 03 when Armada came out, and there was just Beast Wars in red where you could all but roll your Transformers up in little balls with the amount of articulation. And here was these guys that weren't that far off from a late G2 in articulation. So, yeah, I could accept why it's disappointing to them. I was just like, no, but you don't understand. Overlord's really cool. Yeah, he just kind of stands there, but he's really cool.
Yeah, he has the two powered masters. He's pretty awesome.
But, you know, just like you were saying that... the end of Beast Machines, Cybertron was embellished in your mind, Brian. For me, I think Armada and Energon end up being a lot more fun in my own head than they actually were to watch.
I remember people liked Cybertron quite a bit.
I didn't say Cybertron. I said Armada and Energon, specifically those two. Cybertron actually turned out pretty well, all considered.
Cybertron had a lot of good ideas going for it.
Yeah.
And they actually seemed to have some time to work on the scripts for the episodes.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch the Unicron trilogy because I really I didn't finish the Unicron trilogy. That's like the only I haven't finished Beast Wars Neo either. I'm a bad Transformers fan.
No, you're not. I haven't watched any of those.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of
them. I remember watching episodes of Energon, and then when it'd be over, I'd look at the clock and I was like, okay, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, literally 30 minutes of my life just went by that it's like I was drunk or something. I have no clue what just happened. There's flashes of colors and robots, and now it's over.
And people going,
So it's basically the Dreamwave comic?
Yep.
Ooh,
lots of dull surprise.
Mm.
This week we posted something we talked about recently, which was The Low Road, which featured the infamous Rhinox fart at the end. Did anything else? Yeah. Did anything else happen in that episode?
I
think he burped too.
All leads up to the fart.
Yeah. I think it's all about the. Yeah.
He hiccuped all.
Yeah, you split off early on between Rattrap and Dinobot making their way to find Tarantulas to get the antidote for the virus, and Rhinox destroying the Maximal base with the virus. So, I mean, it's all pretty much about the same thing. You just get two different roads.
There's eating beans in there as well, so.
Yeah.
I love eating beans.
Now, to be fair, you get some really good Rattrap and Dinobot moments in that episode. That's one of the saving graces for that, I think. Plus, there was always that one bit toward the end where Dinobot walks in to Tarantulas' lab where Megatron and the other Predacons are waiting, and he announces loudly and proudly, "I have a hostage, Megatron." Megatron says, "So you do," and then shoots Tarantulas out of Dinobot's hand.
That's
right. Yeah.
And says, "Any other stupid Maximal tricks you'd like to try?" I always liked that bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that distinguishes itself from that episode, and that's going back to what we said earlier, my mind has been completely zonked by the fart, so it's like the whole episode is like 22 minutes of farting.
Well, I mean, and like I said, when I was going through the series with my wife, I was like, alright, there's going to be this episode called Low Road. Please just understand that it is not exemplary of what the rest of the series will be like.
Right, and what the Low Road really was doing, I think, it was being one last funny moment for the season before it got to the bigger part where they were ending it with the Vok.
Yeah.
The Vok.
Yeah.
The Vok.
The Vok, watch out.
Meanwhile, the... Sorry. I have Ravaged Three Bodies Evolution on the brain right now.
Why am I floating in space like this?
Jaxus, how is it that you live? I thought you died in the TF Generation 2 comics number 11.
I must show myself to Hot Rod.
Yeah, sorry. Actually, hey, we already have the Ouija reading, but Rob, do you want to... I know you want to do a segment next week where you do like some... pre-recorded fanfic reading.
That might be great because,
You might have to basically just take a few minutes and just read a few excerpts from, because there are so many people now who have no idea what we're talking about.
Why hasn't that been published by IDW yet?
Oh my goodness. I was thinking, All Hail Megatron really sounds like fanfic fodder. I have a fanfic I started on years ago. I could totally pitch it to them. They should totally let me write it.
Hey, they let drifts get past. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
I remember the joke going around in Ouija years ago that if one of us won the lottery, we would sponsor Dinobot's old technology being animated.
We could do that. The thing is, we could do that now as a fan project.
Right.
Technology is to where... Sorry. But no, they could totally do that if they wanted to.
Rhinox farted.
Yeah, Rhinox farted. So, let's see here.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Isn't there something happening on October 15th?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. The 10th anniversary of Radio Free Cybertron is October 15th. We will not be having a new Soundwave episode that week.
Oh, yeah.
But we will have a 10th anniversary show. Some voices from the past will appear, as well as Transformers the Movie Part 4. Most people who are listening will no doubt know what that means. If you are a new listener, however, go back to our archive. And I'll link to it in the show notes, but you can go back and listen to Transformers the Movie, Parts 1, 2, and 3, which, you know, a lot of people compare them to the is it Dr. Smoove or whoever on YouTube. That's not Professor Smoove, is it?
No.
Is it the same guy?
No, it's another guy because he's got other little things he's done other than Transformers.
But, yeah, so. he had posted, apparently he's big in doing, like, Transformers parodies, and he cited that as one of his inspirations. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Were we the first people to really do like a real major parody of that? I think Newgrounds posted a link to a video somebody did to it. I mean, the Transformers movie parody was pretty huge. I know Matrix Prime of TF Wire did like a slideshow to it, and that's had like 100,000 or more than 100,000 views on YouTube. So. But
we've always been cutting edge.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was looking at some of his stuff. He's got like a million hits, nearly a million hits on his Bumblebee review, and I'm just sort of like jealous. I've never had a million hits on anything. He has like a million hits on his Bumblebee review, and I'm totally jealous. But yeah, he's been pretty cutting edge. He has like a little Twitter podcast that he does. It's limited to 3 minutes. I wish I had that idea. I had something similar. It was going to be like a podcast that was just me talking to the microphone, and I would just record something whenever I had a thought and sort of string it together, and I did it, and it sounded like crap.
So, I told you that was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea, but I also had the idea for RFC Throwback, which you thought was a great idea.
Well, after I named it RFC Throwback, yes.
Yes. But
and told you to put the new intro on it.
We are adding a new intro to the RFC Throwback podcast, and you'll hear
that it. That was entirely my idea. Thank you.
It was. But the 10th anniversary, we just bounced from topic to topic. We're totally stream of consciousness, and that, you know, when you're crazy, the stream of consciousness takes a lot of strange turns.
We are the Super Bowl.
Yes. But... yeah, the 10th anniversary show is coming up. RFC Transformers the Movie Part 4, I am working on it now. Hopefully we'll have it done within the next couple weeks, and that will
hopefully be up by October 15th.
Yeah, definitely by October 15th. And as soon as that's done, we're starting on Part 5, and I figure by Part 7 it will be done. So 10 years later. I was about to ask, were we the first people to really do like a major parody? I mean, it's been done several times now, but were we the first people to do that? I think we were. I mean, Nixter had his
first,
like, this is bad comedy thing, which I mean, which he took Soundwave and he would make him stutter, which was awful. It was just so awful. But I mean, there's nothing new. He just remixed Transformers the Movie. But I think as far as like a from scratch parody, I think we were the first people to do that. We're the first people to do a lot of stuff. Why aren't we famous now?
Because you slacked
off
for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. But yeah, the 10th anniversary. We're not the world's first podcast, but we're an old podcast. We've been around longer than most people.
Maybe third.
Second, third, fifth.
Yeah.
In this game, if we were the 100th, that's still something. Cause
we're in the single digits.
You think so?
I would say.
Yeah, we're pretty
gotta
cool.
Be. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, far, far away.
Yeah.
We have 9 chances to be in the single digits, so I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, that's
why not?
True. That's
right. Who's going to disprove it, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll be call
if anybody,
we've been doing this since like 1987.
If anybody can prove to us that they were second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, can't count. Go post on our forums and tell
you
us.
You were homeschooled. No wonder you can't count.
Yeah. I was able to count before I went to public school, so.
I knew my social security number before I went to public school.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Slave.
Yeah. I know my dad's driver's license number.
I could forge my dad's signature when I was 5.
Well, I couldn't do that till I was like 13. I couldn't tie my shoes till I was 12.
It's okay, though. My dad's signature looks like chicken scratches.
Mine does, too. Let's see here. So, yeah, 10th... God, we go everywhere. 10th anniversary show. 10th anniversary show, October 15th. We'll have Transformers, the movie, part 4. We'll have some people on the show. We'll just have some thoughts, and we'll be here. You be
will
here.
Will you be dressed in a tux, formal wear?
I'm dressed in a tux right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, me too.
You mean a tuxedo t-shirt.
You know, I'm here to party, and I'm also here to have fun. No, wait, no. What? I ruin more jokes in a show than most hosts attempt.
Yeah,
you're a volume shooter, as they say in basketball. You just take a lot of shots.
Yes. Yeah, I don't pass the ball. I am a ball hog.
Quantity versus quality, Kilby.
Yeah. So I'm looking at my notes. I think that's it. I think that's it for the show. Unless anyone wants to disagree with me.
I think that's enough.
Rhinox farted.
Yeah, Rhinox farted. The show's going to have some major edits. There's another.
Like that.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. Any parting words? Any words of wisdom? Any secret recipes? Anything?
Rhinox farted.
Yeah, we've established that.
Yeah.
It's been well documented.
It is well documented. Unlike, you know, what was the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess that's it for the Radio Free Cybertron crew. I'm Brian Kilby. Check us out, tfradio.net, if you are listening to this via Facebook or another site. There is a little handy-dandy link we added, which will share... There's a handy dandy link that I posted that where you can help share the Radio Free Cybertron love. People wanted to know how they could help out. Linking to us is the most important way. So look at the blog post or click on the link that says support, and we would appreciate it. Check us out, tfradio.net. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys are welcome. And thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. Check out New Soundwave tomorrow. Bye.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009 Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?